Yes, amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord for redeeming you out of that pit. Praise the Lord. That's amazing. We are here this morning. We serve an amazing God. Behold our God, which taketh away the sins of the whole world. He took your sins and wiped them out. Remission, as if they were never committed. Wow. Praise God. That's our God this morning. Through Jesus Christ. That's our God this morning. This morning, turn with me to John 14. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. I want to go to Hebrews 10 after that. This morning I want to look at the what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So this morning I want to look at maybe the first one. Jesus is the way. And maybe what that means. What does that look like? My desire here this morning is just to bring us to a greater maybe love and appreciation for what Christ did for us. But I also desire to bring a greater fear of God upon us. I believe the church as a whole today lacks the fear of God. I believe we have made little of God. We've made light of God. In a sense, we preach a grace and a Jesus-only gospel. I believe there's a danger in that. I know it's all about Jesus. But I believe there's a pitfall if Jesus came not to condemn us, right? He came and he didn't condemn anyone. He met people where they were. He didn't come to condemn people. He came to meet us where we are and to make a way for us to come to God. I believe, you know, if it was only about grace is not just somehow we're doing our best and somehow we're going to make it. It's not just, grace is the power of God to change us. We are saved by grace through faith. We are saved by the power of God. It's going to change our hearts. It's going to change our lives. And I guess this morning I just want to maybe draw our attention just a little bit. I know we can't explain this in a half hour or 45 minutes. I'm not here as a high priest that's standing between you and God. In a sense, I am, but yet you have your own accountability to God. I'm not here this morning trying to come to God on your behalf or, you know, plead for you with God or whatever. Jesus already did that, and he's made us priests. We can come to God ourselves. And I just desire this morning to stir in each one of us here a greater desire to know God himself. Who is God? We sang so much this morning about God. He doesn't need your counsel. He doesn't have any questions. He's not here trying to somehow find someone who he could maybe reap some kind of a benefit or maybe gain some kind of a knowledge as to what else is needed. He's God, he stands alone, and he doesn't need you to reason with him. And he's holy, altogether righteous. This morning we sang about that. He numbers the grains of sand. If each one of us here this morning would be considered a grain of sand, And you would get 120 grains of sand if you can count that fine dust. It would just make such a small pile in our hand. It wouldn't even be a handful. Let alone you would dump it out on the seashore, maybe of just the eastern seashore. I mean, let's say just that. You would dump that little grain of sand down on the beach. You wouldn't even know where it is. And God said, you know, who else can command, or no, who else can whisper and darkness trembles? I just had to, looking at the lyrics of those songs, Only a Holy God, this morning. And I'm just like, God is God alone, and he stands alone, and he doesn't need you or I to give any information. You know, you think Moses was in the wilderness, you could say he changed God's mind, but actually he didn't. I mean, he put himself in position and he said, God, if you're going to destroy these people, then blot my name out too, right? He was a type of Christ. And Jesus Christ did that literally for you and I. He stood in place for God's wrath to be satisfied. But I guess what I want to bring to us this morning is just to recognize the fear of God. If we don't do it right, we stand in way of his wrath. You know, we don't come to the throne room of Jesus Christ. We don't come to the throne room and pray to Jesus. We're coming to the throne room of a holy God. And if we don't come the right way, then we're in danger. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Let's look at John 14, verse 1 to 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither you go, or how can we know the way? Like, do we make a right and then a left? Do we go straight for 20 miles and then a right? Or, like, how do we do this? How's this done, right? Jesus said, I am the way. No man can come to the Father except by me. Jesus said, I am the way. And I guess my encouragement this morning, or my desire this morning, is maybe do we recognize that if we're not completely in Christ, like there is no other way, right? We know that. I'm not here this morning for something new, somehow explain a new truth. In Hebrews 10, we're going to read verse 19 to 20, verses 19 to 31. My heading here for this passage is the believer's access to God. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fear and indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the grace of God, unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We used to hear that, you know, back when I was growing up, you would often hear, you know, we've heard enough this morning that we should be, it should keep us till the next time we gather, right? If we would just do what we hear, then that would be sufficient. Well, I want to challenge that this morning. I'm not here to somehow meet some needs for the next week. Only God can do that. And if all you hear this morning and you expect this to hold you over till next Sunday, you're not going to make it. Because I think you only perceive what, like 10% of what I say this morning is actually going to be perceived. The rest is just going to kind of go by the way. So we need to hear from God personally. And you need to access the throne of God personally. If you have a need in your life, he's the only one that can meet him. And you got to meet him. Who can hold the oceans in his hands? Who can number every grain of sand? Only God. And my question this morning is, why did Jesus come? And we could probably fill this blackboard up pretty easily with a lot of reasons why Jesus came. And it still wouldn't be enough of room on there. But I guess what I see here in Hebrews 10, verses 7 and 9, it says, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Jesus Christ, he came to do the will of God. And in that will of God, you could fill this blackboard up with what God had in mind. But first and foremost, Jesus came to do the will of God. If it would have been any other reason, I don't think he could have went through the cross. If he didn't, in Garden of Gethsemane, would have been fighting with a battle of whether I love Mel enough or whoever to do this, I don't think he would have made it. I think his purpose was not my will, but yours, O God, be done. That was the purpose. That was the battle at the Garden of Gethsemane, was the battle between what he somehow could not have this cup of wrath on him, and yet to do God's will. If he'd have been here on this earth just because it would have been a fun journey to be on, he wouldn't have survived. He had a far greater purpose than, I mean, by the way, he was in heaven before he came here. So why would he leave that just to come have fun for 33 years? Or to somehow, just be here on a journey. But he was here in the will of God, and his purpose was to fulfill that will. That's why he was here. You know, we can say, well, Jesus died at Calvary because he loved me. Like he did. He proved his love at Calvary for me. But Jesus came to do the will of God. He came to establish a new covenant. The old covenant was the continual offering and sacrificing of blood of bulls and of goats. It was just a continuous thing. It just continuously reminding them of their sin and just continuously reminding of their sin. And the priest had to do this all by himself. He had to go in there to the Holy of Holies and you know, just so much blood was shed and on a yearly basis just so that people could go on again for another year. But Jesus came, and the will of God was that he would break that curse. The relationship that God had with Adam and Eve in the garden, his desire was to restore that again, that there could be personal relationship with the Almighty God, with a holy God, one who demands justice. He demands that we come to him with clean hands and a pure heart. Jesus came to reestablish that relationship. God, I think part of the purpose for Jesus being willing to endure the cross was just seeing beyond the cross and seeing that relationship restored again to the Father. He saw the lostness. He saw the hopelessness of people trying to somehow relate with God, and it just wasn't working. And I believe part of the motivation for Christ to go through the cross was that we can again come and relate with God himself. If God was to give us each a glimpse of his holiness here this morning, I believe we would all be on our faces. Moses was desperate to see God. He wanted to see the face of God. He wanted to see the face of God. And you know, he was that close to God. He had such a relationship with God that his face shone to the point where the Old Testament saints couldn't see. There had to be a veil there. God is holy and altogether righteous. So Jesus came. What I want to see this morning, we have access here, it says in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, we can boldly enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4 talks about entering, coming. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're coming into the throne room of a holy God. And you know, Jesus Christ there at the cross, that separation from God, having to be separated from the Father, I believe was one of the greatest battles in the garden, was just knowing that he's going to have to be separated from God so that he can completely satisfy God, that we can come to God now without having to be separated, that we can actually have that relationship. What a motivation. What motivates us? Do you love God? Why do you love God? Is it fearful for you to come, to think of you praying to God? What's your thought of when you think of, you know, we're praying to God or meeting God face to face? What would be your thought of, you know, does it strike fear in you? In a sense, it should. And yet we can have boldness because of what, when we put our faith and our trust, if we believe Jesus Christ has opened that way and we put our faith in that, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear to come to God. We can come confidently. We don't just come casually, just as you are. I mean, I know we do in a sense. But I don't think it's, we don't just come casually unto the throne of God. It's done right. And that is in the name of Jesus. We pray to God in Jesus' name. We ask God for things in the name of Jesus. We are sanctified by God. Are sanctified. We're not just going to be sometime. But we are sanctified by God this morning through Jesus Christ. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It's a new and a living way. It's now not just a blood of some dead animals or bulls and goats, but it's a new and a living way. You come now, life. He has consecrated us. He's consecrated it for us, like he's made this possible for us. Jesus Christ did. Let us draw near. Hallelujah. Having a high priest over the house of God. We have a high priest that we have access to. Jesus Christ is that high priest. He says, verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke one unto love. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, I love that. I like that thought. This is definitely something I feel like in a church body, this should be happening. Provoking each other to love and to good works. Come on, brother, I see you struggling. Move on, it's worth it. Or brother, I see you have a gift. Let's have it. Speak it. I see the gift of evangelism. Go for it. Are we provoking each other to love and to good works? Not forsaking the assembling of together. We need that. So much the more, it says, as you see the day approaching. Exhorting one another. Exhorting. Are you okay if someone exhorts you? You know, exhorting could be someone coming to me, you know, what do you think? Are you sure what you're doing is? Are you clear? Can we be open to that? Are you clear with your pursuit? Do you feel clear? It's okay. We shouldn't be offended by that. It should be a love for one another. Because if we don't, I by myself won't make it. I by myself won't see that. I need you. I'm okay with that. If you come to me and you have a question, I'm okay with that. We need that. I'm talking about putting a fear of God in us that would motivate us to be careful, exhorting one another, so much the more. Like, Jesus is coming back soon. It'll just somehow make it through. Don't give up now. It'll be worth it. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. I don't think he's talking here about, you know, somehow last week I messed up and, you know, just realized that I kind of did it on purpose or whatever. Like, in this context, he's talking about meeting together, having access to God. We're not talking about now the sins that were in the past or somehow I, you know, have a habit that I failed again this week. But I think he's just simply, in this context, he's talking about our access to God's throne or our access into that holy place. And if we feel like I can handle this by myself, or, you know, we've taken this in our own hands or whatever. I'm not totally sure, but I believe this is in this context he's talking about. If we're coming to God outside of Jesus Christ, there's nothing but judgment. Do we see that outside of Christ being our advocate or our the way to God? We come to God. He's our way to the Father. And if we miss that, there's nothing left but judgment. We must come to God through Jesus. Said, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, suppose you? You know, there's a greater responsibility here, even than that was of the ones in Moses. There's a greater responsibility here because we have Christ open that way up for us. And he opened. No man comes to the Father except by me. The only way to get born again is coming through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1 in verse 24 says, being born again by the word of God. Like, that's a continual process. That's being born again day by day. You read the word of God and you see what the word is saying, and you're like, yes, Lord, I need to change here. We're being born again. As long as we live here, we're going to be born again, right? We change. We're changed day by day. We read this morning, you know, that we come into the presence of a living God is to be changed. We cannot go to his high and holy place and just stay the same. His purpose is to make us and to transform us to become like his son, Jesus Christ. How much sore punishment suppose ye thought be worthy if he has trodden under the foot of God, underfoot the Son of God, and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing? So if we come to that place, we recognize Jesus' blood has sanctified me. I'm now accepted by God. I can come to God by faith through the blood. But if we believe that and we leave that faith, I believe that's what he's talking about here. If we sin willful after we receive the knowledge that only through the blood of Jesus is there an appeal to come to God, and we can come in there to the God of the universe and actually ask him to help us in our situation. We come to him even just to worship him. We have no access to worship God outside of through Jesus Christ. If we come and try to worship the Lord in our flesh, in our somehow with some kind of an emotion or just a display of the flesh, all we have is judgment and a fiery indignation. We must come to God, recognizing he is holy. And outside Christ as our advocate, we have no access to God there. Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. Is it a fearful thing? It says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. God is he's a living God. He's the God of the living. He's not the God of the dead. And I believe we must come to him And knowing that, we're coming to God. We're coming to God. He's alive, and he loves us. He loves us so much. It says God loved the world. Jesus didn't come here because he loved you. I mean, yeah, he did. It says God loved the world that he gave us Jesus. And then Jesus fulfilled that love. He was that love. God gave us Jesus Christ to come and to fulfill everything that was on God's heart, to bring healing, to bring restoration to our relationship with God. And he loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to give a time that we can come and just make our needs known to God. I felt this morning want to have some time here. If anybody needs to come to the altar, come to God. Bring your sins, your shortcomings. You know that we have access to God. We can come confidently. He's not just going to judge us by that. If we come in Jesus' name, if we come by the blood of Jesus, it says, we can have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart. You know, if we're not born again, just come with a true heart. Save me with a full assurance of faith. And you know, God's going to forgive us. In Ephesians maybe 4:32, he's telling us to forgive one another. But it says, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. God forgives our sins for Jesus' sake, because Jesus Christ paid that sacrifice. That was the only way that God would even be just in forgiving me this morning, because I have put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. Let's stand. I'm going to pray. If you have a desire to come to the altar, feel free to do that. If you desire someone to pray with you, that's great. We're available. Whatever God is speaking to you this morning, have faith. You can come this morning to the throne room of God through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you this morning. We just pray, Father, this morning, God, as we desire to come to your throne and just worship you for who you are. You're an almighty God this morning. You forever were and you forever will be, God. As we look at you on the throne this morning, we recognize our only access is because of the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. And this morning, Father, we are so grateful that you loved us to the degree that you would send Jesus Christ, your only Son, to come down on this cursed earth to the sake of saving my soul. Oh God, thank you this morning. You're holy, and we are so grateful this morning for the blood of Jesus. So God, I just pray this morning, every need in here, Father, we just pray we can meet, that you would meet those needs. As we come boldly to your throne, we just ask you would meet those needs, Father, in our heart. You know each heart in here this morning. You know each motive. You know our intents this morning. And we just ask you, God, have mercy. Have mercy on us, God. Have mercy on your people. Have mercy on your people, God. For Christ's sake, come this morning. May your Holy Spirit come this morning. Lord, convict us of sin. Convince us of our need, Lord. We thank you for that this morning. We thank you, God. We love you. We worship you, God. Thank you, Father. Have your way this morning, Father. Holy Spirit, reveal to us the way. Hallelujah. Reveal to us your holiness, Father. May your glory fill this earth, Father. You will reign forevermore. God, this morning, we just desire to allow your glory to fill the earth through your church, Father, through your people. Hallelujah. Let your kingdom come, Father. Let your will be done. Not my will, but thine be done, O God.